Well, we're on indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard to the program. It's been a while since we've been able to have him on the program, but most recently, one of his emails having to do with the issue of the ADL B'nai B'rith and the hate campaign that has been orchestrated against those who expose said groups came up, and it came up in the context of the site World News Daily, or rather World Net Daily. And World Net Daily, of course, is headed by Mr. Joseph Barra, and it had been initiated in 97, I believe, and to the point where Mr. Barra apparently has continued to exalt the ADL as a final authority on what is constituting anti-Semitism. So with me tonight is Ted Pike of truthtellers.org to update us on this latest exchange between he and Joseph Barra of WorldNet Daily. Good evening, Ted Pike.
Good evening. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Well, it's good to have you. And, of course, you know, this particular issue is of interest to many of us because, as you know, WorldNet Daily has been an organization which, well, put it this way. I mean, its mission basically was to be founded with the stated intent of exposing wrongdoing, corruption, and abuse of power, I believe. And it's headquartered now in D.C. And it seems as if they have abandoned some of what they claim to represent. And, of course, vis-a-vis this ADL issue and how they're bending over backward now, apparently, from what you've indicated, to please the ADL and not run afoul of them anymore. So you might want to bring us up to date on this before the first break and give us a little background on what you and Joseph Barra have been up to.
Well, twice over the past year, WorldNet Daily owner Joseph Barra has angrily editorialized against the Jewish Anti-Defamation League. He warned ADL not to attempt to destroy WorldNet Daily by insinuating that his paper is anti-Semitic. And now I believe that Barra is attempting to cover himself. He is Lebanese. He is an Arab. And it may be that he's quite sensitive or fearful that the ADL may suspect that he has a covert agenda of sympathy with the Arabs and the Palestinians. At any rate, he's taken several opportunities to vilify people like Helen Thomas, and now the Occupy Wall Street protesters, deriding them as anti-Semitic and actually calling bringing ADL in as a very esteemed authority on the very definition of anti-Semitism.
And, Ted, let me just start off a little bit by going over the background of Barra and how he created this website. I don't know how familiar you are with all of it, but I've been researching it again and looking at, you know, in the mid to later 90s, how he decided to put together this group and this website, apparently as a, you know, for-profit organization. And then he had some backing. I guess he had about $4.5 million from investors, didn't he?
I'm not too familiar with that.
Yeah, and well, I mean, this is what I gather, and some of the investors, some of the names that have come up have actually been some, I guess, some pretty prominent Jewish individuals, and they viewed him as a man who could put together a website that would draw people to the right and pick up on these titillating subjects. You know, for instance, what he's noted for is what some of the other people that he cavorts with been noted for. People like Dr. Jerry Corsi, whom I've had on this program many times over the years. I haven't had him on recently because I thought he was getting a little bit too sensationalistic. But people like that who will come up with headlines that every day WorldNet Daily puts across and blathers about, and they're highly hyperkinetic, you know, they're highly hyperbolic type headlines, you know, like latest information indicts Obama on birth certificate scandal. I mean, it's almost like the way he approaches every subject is strictly tabloid, and it's like the the Inquirer type of publication. So I don't know how much credibility he's actually garnered with many people on the right, but it seems to me that over the years he has actually alienated a number as well as attracted them. Would you say that, or have you looked into that?
I don't know how many he's alienated. I know that he is routinely quoted as a watering hole of the religious right.
Yeah.
Very strongly pro-Israel. What I object to about him is his manipulation of really Zionist propaganda. He takes Zionist disinformation and he meets it out. He delivers it to a gullible religious right as fact.
Yeah,
I've
right.
written a number of articles in which I'm pointing out that these are Jewish fables. I point out in one article, it's entitled Debunking Joe Ferris' Jewish Fables, that the Bible commands us not to buy into Jewish fables. And I wrote quite an extensive article debunking point by point the misinformation that the Zionists have given over the last 60 years or so. You know, things like Israel, the land of Palestine, was barren sand dunes with no significant Arab population, that kind of thing. Israeli propaganda until the Israelis came in. They made it blossom like a rose. And then these itinerant Arabs, the donkey drivers, seeing a good thing, they moved in from the surrounding nations. That's standard Israeli propaganda, but Farah touts it as fact. And I just had, in a number of articles, I've had to go after him and point by point show that he is really a mouthpiece of a Zionist misinformation and has to be rebuked for that reason.
Well, now, he does bill himself as sort of an evangelical Christian, right?
Yes, that's right. I understand he had a stint over with the Jerusalem Post. He was actually invited to come over there and be some kind of an editor or something. And so he has had some pretty strong Mideast ties, being of Arab descent. But
even his staff includes the Jerusalem bureau chief Aaron Klein.
Yes.
So it's pretty obvious that he does want that mantra of respectability upon him, you know, and
yes.
This is fashionable for the so-called right or the new right today to try to attract that recognition, because we all know that ADL is looking and monitoring all of the organizations that pop up on the political landscape every day, right? And when they do that, they want to check them out to see if they pass the kosher test. And apparently he has passed that kosher test despite his attempts to, tell the ADL to bug off and not tag him. But, see, the ADL has accomplished what it, I believe, has set out to do, and that is to have him serve to react to a false contention to begin with that the organization somehow is anti-Jewish. And, of course, that's not true. But by putting him on the spot, now what he's done is he's played the very game of defensive action. And so he's serving their purposes by publishing very strong anti-Arab and anti-Palestinian, even anti-American policy, constitutional policy, articles on his website. So he's, you know, like you say, he's four square in their corner.
Yes, and as I say, I've written at least four or five articles critical of him. I feel I have an obligation, if he's going to be influenced, manipulated by ADL to kowtow to the Zionist agenda, then I'm going to put pressure on him by calling him on the carpet every time he pontificates in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Jeff Renz faithfully puts up my articles. And actually, by the way, Renz's numbers are pretty close now to WorldNet Daily. I believe they're both around 7 million visits mm-hmm. A month. Mm-hmm. And so my presence as a kind of a gadfly to Farah's excesses and propagandizing evidently is really beginning to bug him, because I received an email from a WorldNet Daily reader, and they had asked him if he could comment on one of my recent articles, and he replied, he said, I don't respond to lying anti-Semites. He's clearly calling me a lying anti-Semite. And in fact, Jeff Renz got an email from Farah several weeks ago, and Farah asked Renz, he said, how would you like it if I posted commentary by people who lied about what you said and wrote? And again, Farah was referring to my article entitled Debunking Joe Farah's Jewish Fables. So Farah now is coming out and describing me publicly as a liar and an anti-Semite. And I believe that he'll do that, if I can detect him in several instances of that. He's certainly doing that to other people. And I decided to call a halt. I decided to protest. And, in fact, we're just coming out with quite an explosive 8-minute video.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping
mm-hmm.
to have it on the show tonight, at least the audio of it, but our computer's giving us a little bit of problems. We will hopefully have it up probably 9 or 10 o'clock tonight at truthtellers.org. Certainly it'll be up in the morning. But this
Pacific
is
Pacific time,
this,
yeah.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. is Pacific. This is a bold a challenge to Farah, that if he can demonstrate any instance in any of my writings about him where I have misrepresented him or lied about him or taken anything out of the context, that in fact at the end of the video I actually invite him if he wants to write an article pointing out my errors, I'm happy to post it conspicuously at truthtellers.org. But I believe that he needs to be called to account here for very, very, I wouldn't say discriminatory, but accusatory accusations. You see, what the ADL and the Zionists have done, they've made the very term anti-Semitism about on the level of child molestation. It's absolutely despicable. And to use that about a public figure such as myself in public simply cannot be countenanced.
Yeah, well, now, that's all interesting and fascinating, but I do hearken back to who are the people that have given him the kind of seed money to get started, and where have they come from? What do they expect in return? And I think you will find that some of them have a very very basic, you know, clear tie to Zionist political circles on the right in America today. And he, of course, therefore, would have to be a mouthpiece for those viewpoints. You know, he who pays the piper calls the tune, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I certainly would like to know who those people are. If you want to email their names to me.
Well, I don't, you know, you sort of didn't have time to actually research it now, but there some of the names I don't have at my disposal. I do recall some people I've spoken with prior, though, who have mentioned some of the powerful families, particularly in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, because he hearkens from New Jersey. And if Art is listening from Philly, he might have some information on this at hand as well. But I haven't had time to actually research or trace all of the money that's come into his pot. But you know, and I know how difficult it is for any group, particularly a right-wing so-called group, to establish itself today without having money. And how do you get money? Who do you go to for money? Well, you usually find that it's very profitable if you seek out the so-called William Crystalite neoconservative types.
Yes.
of power brokers. So anyway, let's come back to that. There's a lot more to talk about with Ted Pike, my guest, Rick Adams Uncensored. Hey, we're back now with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org, and before we go any further, we're trying to determine some of the millionaires and powerful Republican type of Jewish activists that have contributed heavily to Joe Farah's group, WorldNet Daily. And as a matter of fact, I asked Art to call in from Philly, and I believe he's on the line right now. Is that right? Art, are you there?
Hello, Rick. How you doing?
Hi.
Thank
Good.
You.
How are you? You heard my question, right?
Yes. I'm calling in, but I don't know who was behind Joe Farah. I didn't do the research on it.
Well, that's a good subject to research because we've mentioned it before a long time ago, and I just can't crystallize the names right now. Pardon the pun, Crystal, but you know, there have been some very, very powerful financial movers and shakers to be able to put millions of dollars together to have this powerful website gaining steam. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. I mean, the powerful guy, the three guys at the top is real obvious. So it's Sheldon Adelson, Edgar Brossman, and Alvin Malek. Those are the top guys. Right underneath him would be Larry Ellison's a big guy from Oracle coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was funny after we talked about Accenture and mentioned about Oracle being involved with fraud that 2 days after we talked on the radio, they got nailed for a $200 million fine for
it is a, being it involved is a, with fraud. An interesting coincidence, I suppose, huh?
Right. Right. So,
you know, we do carry pretty far, and people, Ted, in high places do listen
right.
to these programs. So,
right.
You know, when we talk about these figures and Accenture companies like that, Arthur Andersen formerly, we manage to rattle a few cages. So I'm sure that the word of this program will get to Mr. Farah and
right.
WorldNet Daily.
Now, the honest thing that he did is he wrote about the McCain fortune being tied to organized crime with Hensley. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when someone calls you anti-Semite, you want to correct them and tell them the correct term is anti-mafia, especially when they're talking about the ADL.
Mm-hmm.
I had the policing authorities tell me directly they knew the ADL was the mafia, okay? So they know what's going on, all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's that article, ADL, The Face of Hate, which is talking about their involvement with the city of San Diego, California. There was also the report of the San Diego report put out by a former district attorney about waste management systems. Those two are go hand in hand. I'll give you an example. Waste management systems actually started in the Philadelphia area, Schultz Trash Hauling, run by a guy named Robin Williams. They became waste management systems involved with the biggest fraud before Enron. And then they basically got involved with trying to take over the city of San Diego. That attempt failed. But
mm-hmm.
what did succeed is when Mayor Jerry Sanders came in there, using the Anti-Defamation League, they got the mayor, they got the district attorney, and they got the police chief going over there to junk it to Israel. It's no different than good old days when Chicago was run by the mob, no different than when Newark, Detroit. It's the same thing. So whenever you're seeing the ADL, you're seeing the Chicago Syndicate. They are one and the same. They are absolutely one and the same. I've heard that directly from policing authorities.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ted, do you have any comment on this?
Well, what I'm trying to do, quite frankly, is begin to smoke out these evangelical leaders and get some public discussion about the very fact that they are posing as expressing biblical values concerning Israel, and actually it's all very much the opposite. I am actually going to produce another video on Haiti, I think, this next week. What I want to do is to get them to come out and fight in blunt terms. I want them to come out and let's get these issues of Zionist manipulation of the religious right out in the media spotlight where we can sort them out and begin to talk about this. You see, the problem is today that we're seeing a worldwide revulsion at the misbehavior, the injustice of Israel toward the beleaguered Palestinians, and yet the evangelicals are in a barricade mentality. They are hiding. They're not speaking out as they once did. They all they do is they
maybe utter a few derisive statements, and then they go back in their shell because they are intellectually outweighed by all of the argumentation and documentation proving that Israel is not behaving as God's chosen people, the apple of God's eye. They are an oppressive antichrist system, a counterfeit return to Palestine. And I have a very great deal to say about that. I'm kind of a pioneer, in my opinion, of beginning to rethink the evangelical point of view toward Israel. I want to get these people out of the underbrush where they're hiding. I want to get them out. I want to dialogue with them. And I would love if Farah would come out and actually begin to rebut me, or at least get these issues out where they belong, because the Bible is so absolutely clear in dozens of scriptures that God will not allow a reprobate Christ blaspheming nation of 7 million Jews to come into his holy land. And that is so foundational to scripture that I feel very, very confident in going out and even as I say, picking a fight. I'm not making something up here out of whole cloth, because Farah has now libeled me in public, and he has to be held accountable for it.
All right. Okay, let's pick up on that when we return. And thank you for joining us, Art, as well. Appreciate that update. Rick Adams, Uncensored. We'll be right back with our guest, Ted Buck. Thank you for that. We're back now. And, Ted, you've just made your points about smoking out Farah and trying to attempt to get him in a public forum to debate this issue. But first of all, I think the fact that he has addressed you and has, you could say he's defamed you, is really an indication that maybe he's actually drawing people to your website to get some of your viewpoints too, I guess, huh?
Well, I certainly hope so. This is really quite a powerful video. We now will have up this evening, or certainly by tomorrow morning, at truthtellers.org. What we want to do is stir things up here. You know, it's kind of interesting, because we do send out our e-alerts, our usually twice weekly e-alerts, to many hundreds of Tea Party chapters in America. We have about 600 Tea Party chapters in America who are subscribing now and taking in all of this truth. But there are a lot of evangelicals on the periphery. The walls of the internet are permeable. This material goes out very widely. And I think that, quite frankly, a number of evangelicals would be delighted to have Farah come out and repudiate Ted Pike, destroy Ted Pike verbally. But the truth is that once they actually watch this video, the case against Farah, these lies against me, a misrepresentation of my character, but also the fact that he is persisting in holding up the Anti-Defamation League as a lawgiver of what is anti-Semitism. This is very, very ominous, very threatening, because he has 7 million visits there a month of people who should be put on a high alert against ADL, because ADL opposes everything that WorldNet Daily ostensibly supports. Now, I have complimented Farah in the past for his coverage of hate crimes issues. In fact, back when the Philly 11 were incarcerated by Lynn Abraham and so on in 2005, WorldNet Daily picked up Bob Unruh, published some of my materials, and worked to popularize the idea that hate crimes laws were evil. And up until that time, I remember a poll in 2003 that something like 92% of evangelical young people thought hate crimes laws were good. But WorldNet Daily has played a role in giving hate laws a bad time, and also letting the world know what's happening in countries, especially like England and Canada. But that doesn't atone for the fact that Farah now is, I believe, out of convenience, is just putting Abe Foxman up, ADL up, as they misdirect and lead Christians into a false confidence that ADL is a credible organization. Actually, ADL, I believe, is almost one of the most
most influential organizations over the past 40 years, which has promoted homosexuality with their No Place for Hate program and World of Difference programs and public schools and businesses and so on. They've laid the foundation for a tolerance of homosexuality as few organizations have done. Their legal arm has militated for homosexual cases, same-sex marriage, and now certainly with their cyberbullying legislation, which they're promoting in Congress as well as throughout the state. ADL just absolutely is antithetical to everything that FARA ostensibly stands for. So he needs to be rebuked for this. We need to have WorldNet Daily readers email in and say, you can't betray our sacred cause by putting this this Antichrist figurehead, ADL, in Foxman, in a place of authority and guidance for the evangelical right.
Well, I suppose by generating the kind of heat you're generating, if enough noise is made, you know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, and he may very well, I'm sure you're hoping, be forced to respond in a public venue.
I'll be quite frank, want him to think twice about regurgitating Zionist propaganda to his 7 million visitors. If he's going to give Zionist pabulum, toxic pabulum of propaganda and brainwashing straight from Tel Aviv to the religious right, he's going to have to face the fact that I will be coming out against him. I will be going down point by point. I will be documenting, as I have in these articles, his errors and disinformation. And, you know, over on the religious, on the alternative radio far right, we're getting a pretty sizable media. In fact, if you counted up the number of visitors to Rance and Alex Jones together, it would be at least 14 million every month. And the WorldNet Daily is only 7 million. We have a pretty good clout over here. And he's got to learn that he's accountable to the whole truth. And if he doesn't speak it, then he's going to have to answer certainly to me.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that these groups today are well-funded, and the source of income is what I am most interested in and learning more about, because, as you know, networks, you know, and particularly like RBN, which is still growing tremendously over what it had been, and as a far-reaching audience and people in high places, you know, you'd have to say, well, no, you know, we depend largely on contributions and some of the sponsors that sponsor these ads. Now, I know that FARA has sponsors, and WorldNet Daily has some obvious, you know, sponsorship there, but they don't make it just on that. And the kind of influence they try to convey, to me, indicates that there's some pretty powerful people behind him. And as long as he toes that line, that Judeo-Masonic Bolshevik Zionist line, it seems to me that, you know, that's all he's concerned about. And doesn't that prove what we've been saying? Doesn't that prove that much to the, you know, the consternations to the contrary, ADL and Jewish extremism in America today does carry a tremendous amount of influence over everything? Doesn't that prove the point?
Well, what I found over 4 or 5 years of intense battling the federal hate crimes bill, and at the same time trying to enlist the aid of big evangelical organizations, again and again, I'm sorry to say, I found evidence that there were people in the highest level of some of these largest evangelical organizations who are actually wanting to have the hate bill passed and not to cooperate with me in any way. In fact, I'll just give you an example. I did a lot of calling, personal calling, to religious right organizations. I called Pat Robertson's organization, and a lady answered, and I told her, I said, ma'am, the federal hate bill is about to pass in Congress. You've got to alert 700 Club and CBN and so on. And she was saying, oh, I haven't heard anything about this. this is very, very serious. And she said, I'm going to do something about this. We're going to send out an alert to get those calls going into Congress against the federal hate bill. And then that very afternoon, about 4 hours later, Pat Robertson's organization came out with an alert, but it was exactly the opposite. It said, folks, there is nothing to worry about any threat of a federal hate crimes bill passing. We have the clout in the Senate to stop it dead in its tracks. There's nothing to worry about. There was somebody there who took this spigot of information and turned it on in exactly the opposite way to millions of the followers of Pat Robertson, and the result was apathy. And I've seen that again and again. Certainly, many times we have trusted in Republican leadership, particularly in the Senate, to get in there and roll up their sleeves and fight the hate bill. There has been a complete accident, a collapse of any kind of action on the floor of the Senate. Same way with the largest Christian conservative organizations. And I've had to go in there literally banging the drum, making a big fuss, even shaming the evangelicals publicly in order to get any kind of support. What this does imply to me beyond question is that the Zionists have not been neglectful in efforts to penetrate very deeply into the religious right, perhaps getting dossiers of compromising materials on leaders and so on that force them to do their bidding.
I think that's part of it. I also think that there is a determined ideological predisposition and theological heresies that they have embraced. Also the 501c3 factor and fear of losing their exemption. You know, if they start coming out and educating people about Israel and its influence, that could easily bring the wrath of the IRS down upon them. Whereas pro-Israel propaganda is quite acceptable. It's considered to be educational, as you know. I would definitely say that in the case of Pat Robertson is too savvy. Pat Robertson is too shrewd a businessman and a manipulator not to have people in his organization who would obviously be working for that very goal in opposition to what you're trying to do. So, I mean, you know, his whole news gathering network, they were well aware of the hate crime. I'm positive they were aware of everything going on. And clearly they did not want to make it an issue. So when you made it an issue, obviously they turned it around to the advantage of the enemy. So, you know, there's right in the seat of the ministries is the scornful. You know, they're the people who are actually the enemy within, we like to say. And I think people are aware of that and look at where they're putting their dollars, then that would have an impact. I think hit them in the pocketbook. This has always been the way to influence change, you know, whether it's the ADL side where they have the, extortion racket money coming into them from various fronts and, as Art said, from various, Cosa Nostra activities, or whether it's the Christians, the so-called Christians, who are bringing in lots of money from grandma and grandpa and all these people that are emptying out their bank accounts. Let them know about it. And if they
absolutely.
Then that's the solution, to hit them in the pocketbook, I think.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, your influence is wide and pervasive and goes into areas we might not expect. This kind of truth to penetrate.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm also finding is the same thing is true with me. People tell me that many evangelicals are aware of me now, but there seems to be among the Israel First evangelicals a kind of a conspiracy of silence, trying to hold out and give us the silence treatment as if we didn't exist, as if the old guard, the Jerry Falwell mentality was live and well. But the truth is that I believe there's real evidence that the religious Israel First right has a poverty now of real spokesmen, of ideologues who can really justify Israel as they did in the previous century. And instead, what I'm finding people are telling me is that Yes, they have people who are standing by Israel, but they're now refusing to talk. Their relatives refuse to talk. They walk away. They will not. They will not even take an email by Ted Pike that's pushed toward them. And what this reveals to me is that the whole love Israel unconditionally mentality is a kind of a dying ideology. Every ideology in every generation has to bring up a certain amount of intellectual apologetics that will keep it alive, and it's dying. All they can do is kind of go on the gasoline fumes of the rhetoric and idealism of a previous era.
All right, so you could make a definitive statement that you seem to believe this is a trend in these circles?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The main support for Israel now is not among thinking pastors or any kind of intellectuals in evangelicalism. In fact, I did an e-alert a number of months ago about a poll. I believe there was a big evangelical convention in Lausanne, Switzerland, and they did a poll of many evangelical leaders and found, surprisingly, that only 30% of them really were in support of Israel. And what's happening is I think that a lot of pastors may have their doubts about Israel now, but, of course, the constituency, the man in the pew, still listens to the standard Love Israel evangelical radio and so on. And pastors are very, very slow, of course, to come out and lead because they are dependent upon the support of their people. But there is undoubtedly a trend. You see, the church, being fairly fleshly, has a tendency to follow the world. And when you have some 130 to 150 nations now which may be poised to vote for a seat of the Palestinians in the United Nations, this rubs off. This rubs off on the evangelicals, and they have a tendency to drift to a certain extent with the prevailing intellectual moods of the day. And young people on campus, I'm hearing, are evangelical young people are saying that everywhere they are hearing Israel criticized, and they realize that the evangelical, traditional evangelical point of view is now a minority on campus. And what that does is that it opens them to hearing what that point of view is all about. And if they once open their ears to any criticism of Israel and they are able to validate it as fact, then that opens a completely new floodgate of information about the whole extent of the Zionist conspiracy throughout the ages. And in short order, those very evangelical young people who once were so protected from the truth now can actually become converts to the whole truth.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the break, and I know we have the hour with you, so I want to be able to spare time when you come back to tell us what we can expect on the video presentation that should be posted up on your website, and that should be momentarily or by the probably within the next couple of hours. So we'll
right.
come back with Ted Pike to tell us about that as well. Rick Adams, Uncensored. Yes, we're back now in the final segment of this hour. And, Ted, I wanted you to tell us, since we could not play the audio, since it was not up yet on your site, tell us what this video will look like and what it will say. Say it's about 8 minutes long in response to Joe Farah?
Yes, it's a very high-quality video, lots of powerful images, a brief but very, very fast-moving and dynamic. And As I say, Farah has called me a lying anti-Semite. He's doing that publicly. And what the only thing I'm asking for him is a rebuttal of me, showing where I have falsified facts about him or attitudes, his point of view. And what I'd like, of course, is some kind of a public statement attempting to vindicate his declaration now that I'm a lying anti-Semite. And the idea would be that this exchange would not be rancorous, but that he would open himself to some kind of a conversation with me, and the truth would go out.
But if he can't do that, if he can make a denunciation as broad as to say that I'm a lying anti-Semite and yet not bring forth any kind of facts, then it seems to me that he cannot help but suffer for that. I'm hoping that this video will go viral on the Internet, and many WorldNet Daily readers will say, well, what do you have to say to this gauntlet that Ted Pike has thrown down to you? Do you have some kind of a reply? And we have yet to see. But I am anxious, very anxious, to get, as I say, to smoke these evangelicals out, especially the leaders, get them responding to the real world of Israeli abuse and atrocities, a sordid record of human rights violations in Palestine and so on. These are not our imagination. These are the realities of our time. And paradoxically, it is not the church, it's not the evangelical church, which is crying out for justice in Palestine. It's actually liberal churches, it's even Democrats and left-wingers that are leading the way to come to reality about that deplorable situation. So I think, it says in the Old Testament, in the time of Samson, it says the Lord began to move him at times in order to seek an occasion against the Philistines. And that's exactly what I feel that the Lord is leading me to do now, is to say that I'm not going to sit down while I am being defamed this way. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say that there is a controversy about Zionism. God has a controversy with Joe Farah, because Joe Farah is perverting the right ways of the Lord concerning the true biblical stance about Israel.
All right, then, Ted. That's something to look forward to, and we will have to monitor this and see whether or not he will respond to you in the coming days and weeks ahead. Thank you very much for updating us tonight on the program about the latest controversy, and we'll be sure to check into your website, www.truthtellers.org. All right, then, Ted, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes, we'll talk again. All right.